This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. The Department of Homeland Security, under the leadership of retired General John Kelly, has indicated that it is considering a wide range of options to fulfill Donald Trump's idea of, quote-unquote, extreme vetting of foreign travelers. Among those options is requiring travelers at airports to turn over their phones to security officials and even hand over their social media account passwords. Now, a coalition of privacy advocates, led by the group Access Now, has called on the Trump administration to back off from such invasive surveillance. A campaign called Fly, Don't Spy says on its website that, quote, such a requirement would violate human rights, create digital security risks, and undermine U.S. industry. It would chill the speech and behavior of people around the world. My guest is Nathan White, Senior Legislative Manager of Access Now. Welcome to the program, Nathan.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be on the show to talk about this important issue.
So we found out from reports what the Trump administration has been considering, and it's a very wide range of options. This is something that Trump had hinted quite strongly in at many times while he was campaigning for president. So I suppose we shouldn't be terribly surprised that when he says extreme vetting, he really means extreme, right?
Well, I'm not surprised that he wants to do something extreme. I am a little surprised that the idea is this extremely bad. Your introduction said it exactly right, that the Trump administration has requested DHS to review their processes for extreme vetting, particularly from areas of quote-unquote risk around the world. And we're now finding that they're really trying to push the limits on not only what is possible, but what is reasonable and what is even rational when it comes to security. The idea that we would ask for social media passwords for people, it's hard to wrap your head around of how that seems like it could possibly be a good idea. Not only do we have to ask people for that invasive information, invade their privacy, be able to access their accounts, but we also have to store that information in some way that we can use it. That means a database of potentially thousands, 10,000s, millions of travelers' passwords, and the government's expected to keep that secure somehow when they can't even keep their most prized hacking tools secure. It creates a honeypot of bad security that's just asking people to give up any sort of digital privacy, digital security in hopes of being able to travel to the United States. And it isn't just we're asking other people to do this. Many countries mimic and follow what the United States does on its immigration procedures. For example, Brazil has it written into law that they mimic exactly what the U.S. government requests of Brazilian citizens, they ask of American citizens when we travel to Brazil. So this will have an effect on everybody, whether it's somebody coming to us or if you want to travel internationally.
So far, since the inauguration of President Trump, what sort of measures have we seen at airports? I mean, we know that when Trump attempted to enact his so-called Muslim ban, people simply, lots of people were simply not allowed into the country or were detained. But in terms of access to smartphones or social media passwords, has the DHS, has Homeland Security sort of attempted to test out some of these policies?
Yeah, so two things happened. First of all, in December, actually under the Obama administration, DHS rolled out a program to ask certain visitors to voluntarily submit their social media accounts. They rolled it out as a test to see what it would be like, to see if they could collect the information, to see if
this
it was useful.
This was in visa application processes, right?
Exactly, before you get to the border. This was seen as quite an overstep under the Obama administration, but it was also presented as a test to see what would happen if it would be useful to DHS. Under the Trump administration, we've seen them look at that and attempt to ramp it up by a multitude of factors, and that means requiring people to submit not only their username accounts, but also the passwords in advance of applying for the visa so that people can check what they're saying, who they're talking to, who they're communicating with. We're also seeing accelerated checks at the border. It's previously been legal for agents to ask somebody to unlock their phone or to open up a computer and let an agent glance at it. It's a little bit legally ambiguous over what they're allowed to force you to do, whether or not they can force you to put in your password to unlock a digital device. But in the last couple of months under the Trump administration, we've really seen them double down. And in fact, in the last month, we had more than double the device searches at the border than in December under the Obama administration. And that's creating a host of legal challenges as well for both American citizens and for travelers. And we're already seeing people not want to enter the United States, not want to bring their business to the United States, not want to go through that hassle in order to visit here. So I think we're going to see a lot of repercussions for travelers, but also for anybody who's dependent on tourism or foreign investment or working internationally, as well as just our reputation as a free and open society.
Right. I personally have some friends and relatives who've changed travel plans, and there have been reports that Mexicans, who have as their number one travel destination as the U.S., have dropped dramatically in travel plans and are now opting for Canada. Mm-hmm. I want to actually quote retired general and currently Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly in his congressional hearing. This is what he said about what he'd like to do at the border. "We want to say, for instance, what sites do you visit, and give us your password so that we can see what they do on the internet. If they don't want to give us that information, then they don't come." He seems to be a pretty eager enforcer of Trump's policies, right?
Mm-hmm, he does. And it's interesting, that was at the House Homeland Security hearing. At a Senate Homeland Security hearing, Senator Claire McCaskill followed up on him and kept asking him, "Are you serious? How can we go around the world? How can we tell ambassadors? How can we tell visitors? How can we tell the world that we're open for business if we're going to force you to open your devices and give us your passwords just as a condition to come here?" And his response was telling. He kept saying, "Well, it's not that big of a deal, and it'll only be a small number of people." And that's why we launched flydontspy.com, so that we can get people to tell him directly, yes, that is a big deal, and people do care about that, and we're not going to tolerate that kind of discrimination and disregard for digital security for a little bit of what we call security theater.
So theater, that's a really important word, because if there was somebody with a nefarious intent and they knew that this was the policy, how easy would it be to simply sidestep it?
Well, I don't know about you, but I have multiple Gmail accounts. It wouldn't be very hard to just add another one and give that one. You don't have to give accurate information. In fact, it's very, very easy to give inaccurate information or to simply give a different account if you wanted to give access to one of your accounts. The notion that the criminals and the terrorists are going to say, "Oh, yep, here's my password, go read, you got me, but I still would like to come in, please," is just ludicrous. The thinking doesn't make any sense.
So let's talk about what it is that you are calling on the Homeland Security to do. So currently they're in the process of trying to figure out which policies to adopt at the border to be secure. And we should also mention, haven't our security policies that we've had in place since 2001 already been pretty effective? I mean, why is there that any sort of terrorist, so-called terrorist attacks here in the United States have primarily come from people who already live here, right? Are not necessarily traveling across the border to come here to blow stuff up.
Sure. So this originally started with Trump's first travel ban, which was struck down by the courts, in which he gave DHS 90 days to review their extreme vetting proposals. Now, that order was struck down by the courts, but they've maintained they still want a review from DHS. They just don't have that 90-day deadline anymore. As part of that review, that is where they've come up and proposed these ideas to require more device searches at the border and require people to provide their passwords as part of the application procedure before they even get on a plane. What we're trying to do is make it clear that that is not a solution that people will stand by. We want to make that clear even before there's a specific proposal, and so that we can kill it before it even happens. If they come out with this, we're going to immediately be able to respond with tens of thousands of signatures in opposition. We'll be able to encourage Congress to raise serious questions and try to stop a proposal before it ever goes into effect. Because what we've seen is, even if it doesn't really work, once a security procedure gets put into place, it's very, very hard to remove it, because no one wants to be the one who voted to remove a security procedure, and then, God forbid, something happens and they get blamed. Hmm. It's just not how Congress is set up.
Now, what sounds even more extreme than asking for social media passwords is an ideological test, which Trump hinted at when he was campaigning, mm-hmm. that, you know, we should be screening people for their views on the, quote, sanctity of human life and whether they view, you know, who they view as a legitimate target in a military operation. I mean, this is the, like, Orwell's thought police.
Well, that's where it gets beyond even security theater. There's no way that you can say we're going to be safer because we asked somebody whether or not they like the American president. They'll simply lie. It's a ludicrous question. What it is it's political posturing. It's to be able to say, I want to keep these bad people out, and I don't know how to keep bad people out, so I'm going to say that we're going to ask, are you a bad person? I mean, it's kind of asking your four-year-old how you're going to keep somebody out of their play area. The ideas are ludicrous and really shouldn't even be spoken of, but they are, and so we need to make sure that they don't go any further, and they certainly don't become the actual policies that represent the United States to all people who visit us.
So how can people get involved? Flydontspy.com is the sort of web portal where this coalition is asking people to sign on?
Sure. We have organized a coalition that represents a wide range of groups. We have the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the American Civil Liberties Union, think tanks here in Washington, D.C., immigrant groups, travelers groups, and we brought everybody together to speak with one voice so we can just make it clear that there is political opposition to this, that if they try to push this through, there will be a political price. They will have to fight for it. They will have to defend it. That it's not going to be something that they can just push through, tell their base, we got a political win, and we will all suffer for it. So we're asking people to join us by going to flydontspy.com and sign a petition to Secretary Kelly saying that we will reject and refuse to accept any kind of proposal of extreme vetting that requires these invasive security measures.
So at this point, what are any dates that are coming up that you suggest people look out for in the news? You mentioned there was a 90-day mm-hmm. deadline. What can people look forward to in terms of the kinds of timing that you, the people can think about when they contact their legislative representatives, for example?
Sure. So as mentioned, there was originally a 90-day deadline, which would be in the next couple of weeks. I've heard that DHS originally wanted to try to meet that deadline, and now I'm hearing some pushback that there's other priorities and they don't really want to bring that to the political front while there's debates over a budget shutdown and Trump's 100 days. So it looks like we might have gotten a little bit of a reprieve, which I take as an opportunity that we need tens of thousands of people to speak out so that when we do engage in this, when they do come forward with a proposal, probably in about 3 weeks, maybe a month, we're ready to speak with one very loud voice and say no.
And we know, of course, that these issues of privacy and security are often quite bipartisan among the public, and we've seen previous fights around similar sorts of things, attempts to violate people's privacy, come to a screeching halt when enough people have come on board. Well, Nathan, I want to thank you very much for joining us today, and I'm sure we'll be touching base in the future again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And thanks for talking about this issue. I'm very grateful for that. You're helping get the word out that together we'll get enough of a voice, we'll build enough of coalition, and we can stop this before it happens.
And that website again is flydontspy.com. My guest is Nathan White, Senior Legislative Manager of Access Now, the group that is leading the coalition. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.